Hello and welcome to Glitch Cube, we're a gaming podcast, and each week we take a deeper look at the art of video games. As always, I'm Christian.
I'm Chris.
And welcome back, everybody. Thank you guys for joining us once again as we dive further into the world of games. So this week we are jumping into movies, actually. We're going to step away from games a little bit, but it's all in the same vein because we are going to be talking about a video game movie. Now, for most people, whenever you bring up the idea of a video game movie, you are going to be expecting utter garbage. Sad to say, but most video game movies are crap. Just recently, we started getting movies that were actually pretty damn good. Like, the Mortal Kombat movie was actually pretty damn good. I mean, so is the classic from the 90s. I absolutely love that one. And Annihilation is a weird guilty pleasure of mine. But the new Mortal Kombat movie was actually pretty darn good. But then again, you also have movies like, Monster Hunter. Horrible movie. Then you have the Resident Evil franchise, which is okay-ish. The first one should have just ended there.
It went downhill.
Very quickly. After the first, it should have just ended. I mean, I will say, was it two? Or no, it might have been the first one still, where the guy gets cubed by the lasers. Best scene ever, right? That one's awesome.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that one's ingrained in my mind for a reason.
Before we jump into the worst, I do have a question, because I feel like this is very mixed opinions. But what is your thoughts on, like, the current Sony stuff, right? Like, Uncharted.
You know, the Uncharted movie was actually pretty good. I actually enjoyed the Uncharted movie. I mean, it's kind of quirky. It's a little, like, the story itself didn't feel like it had any real, like, weight behind it or any real consequence. Mm-hmm. But it was an enjoyable movie. It was a good time. And then, like you said, we have the Last of Us stuff. I mean, granted, it's not a movie, it's a show, but that was actually done very well. And what I think that is kind of changing things around a little bit here is a lot of these ones that are doing pretty well are actually sticking fairly closely to the source material, right? Mm-hmm. It's typically the ones that want to go a little bit outside the box, change things up a little bit because it's a movie and they think that there's not enough gamers out there that will really enjoy it or are going to watch it. So they have to change the story or rush things or whatever it may be. So I feel like those are the ones that really start to fall behind because there's some really, like, just god-awful movies out there. I mean, like, probably my two favorite.
And we'll watch them all.
Yeah, we're going to, 100%. I mean, we've done another movie one on the show. So it's my favorite movie by far because, well, for one, it has sentimental reason for me. And two, I think it's just the greatest idea for a movie ever. But we also did the FP on here, right? And we talked about that one a while ago. But that's the Dance Dance Revolution gangster movie, which I think is probably the best movie ever created for any media scene. And I watched that in theaters day one, and there was only one other fucking person in the theater with me. So, but I think I've watched that movie like 6 times, and they've made a part 2 and a part 3. So, yeah, like, those guys, they killed it. They crushed it with that one. So it's kind of interesting that, like, video game movies either do completely horrible, right? Or they're pretty good. Like, the Super Mario movie was actually a good movie, right? And then there's mm-hmm. the ones that know not to take themselves seriously at all. And that's, like, the FPs and things like that, those kind of movies. But then we get these ones that really want to be serious. They want to be taken serious. So they get big actors involved in all this stuff, and they try and sell it, and it just does not work. And it just does not work at all. It's pretty rough. And so this week, what we're going to actually be diving into and what we watched was the Max Payne movie. Now, the franchise itself is a great franchise. I mean, the story itself is very interesting. I haven't played the game yet, but I've watched a lot on it. And you know, luckily after watching this movie, I'm not turned away from the franchise, but I can see that a lot of people could be. This movie was very interesting. And I think the fact that it got a 16% on Rotten Tomatoes should just kind of say it all. It didn't do so good. I mean, having Mark Wahlberg as the lead, I think he fits as a Max Payne. I think he could have done really well if the script was better. But unfortunately, that wasn't really the case. But anyway, so before we dive into the actual movie and really dissect this thing, I took notes. I'm not kidding you. I actually took notes on the damn movie.
I thought about it, but it pissed me off enough where I can visually remember it.
Yeah, I was kind of worried that I would forget some stuff because it was so slow. So I bust out the notebook there. But, you know, why don't you let us know what, and let our viewers or listeners know, what is Max Payne? Like, what's the actual story behind it? What should we have been walking into here?
I mean, in a lot of ways, like, there were parts, like, there's a lot of things in the background of this movie that do keep to the original story, but they obviously, like, Hollywoodized it, basically, mm-hmm. right? Like, okay, so the same... There's going to be spoilers. Anybody listen, spoilers for both the movie and the game, screw it.
The movie's going to get spoiled like crazy, and you're welcome for not, so you don't have to watch it.
Yeah, it's, when you compare the story of the game to this, it's like, it's a night and day difference, because him finding out about his wife and newborn is like right away at the beginning, smack dab, so you know what's going on. Right. And the cool thing about Max Payne was it had this like graphic novel cutscene that was like spoken over. So it added to this like kind of gritty noir kind of theme. And that is one thing with the movie, even though it kind of looked like Sin City half the time with its kind of like weird visuals and gray filter. I felt like it kind of had that noir theme to it. And I was like, oh, this isn't too bad. Like when the movie started, I was like, oh, the vibe kind of fits. But the other thing is, too, when you think about the game, it's very liminal, right? It's very dark, snowy, just empty, right? It's not a bustling city like in the movie. But basically, it starts the same, right? He comes home. He finds his wife and his newborn murdered by junkies, and he doesn't know why, right? He just knows that there was like an emblem. And basically after that, he's a detective. He used to be DEA. And he, right off the bat, the difference with the movie is that it kind of, it takes a long time getting to what the beginning was. And basically, halfway through the movie is kind of where the game almost starts. But it's not like it's weird. A prequel at all. It's all make-believe, right? There's basically, the beginning of the game, he sets up a meeting with that BB, that old guy. He's like this, he was former DEA with him, or current DEA. And he makes a meeting with that dude, Alex,
the
other detective. Yeah, his partner. And basically, right then and there, that's where Alex gets killed. So it's like pretty soon in the game that happens and you get framed.
Oh, that's like halfway through, towards the end, like, of the movie itself. Weird.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's like they're basically trying to frame it where, like, everyone is after you, but you're on a revenge trip, right? So it makes the game, like, you feel like you're against the world kind of thing, which is cool, because in the movie, you don't really feel that. You barely even feel the revenge part until later on. But basically, in the movie, you know, it starts off where he goes and meets that, like... Well, after he gets jumped, right? And then he meets up with this, like, shady dude at a party. Mm-hmm. And that's where he meets Natasha.
Yeah.
And that wasn't in the game. That whole scene didn't happen in the game. The interesting is that Natasha chick, like, in the game, she is actually, like, I think she is killed, but I know she's, like, hurt by one of the gangsters. I think it was Lupino in the game as well. But, oh no, it wasn't Lupino. It was Don Punchinello. And Punchinello, which I don't think they,
no,
I don't think
no
they
Don
talked about that in the movie at all.
Mm-mm.
So basically, like, in the movie, they portray Lupino as, like, the big enemy, right? Like, throughout the whole movie, you're thinking that's the bad guy. And it makes sense. I mean, dude looks freaking crazy. He looks like lead singer Disturbed meets, I don't know, like he stepped out of Hot Topic, got some fresh JNCOs. Like, that kind of, like,
yeah,
energy, like, I'm drinking two monsters and that kind of stuff. That guy.
He reminded me of, like, a young soldier that just got home that's still collecting bullets off the gun range, right? Like, that kind of person. Like, I've met a few of those guys that just got out of the military, and they're like, yo, check this out. And you go to the trunk of their car, and they have, like, a 50 caliber bullet in there. I'm like, why do you have this? Like, what the? Okay, cool. Good for you, man. Neat. Like, I don't want to hang out with you anymore. Like, that's the vibes that, like, Lupino was giving me. And I actually had to, like, read up more on him, because the Lupino character actually sounds interesting, or more interesting than what he was in this movie. He was just a voiceless guy that was just there that would smile menacingly, you know, on occasion. But in the game, he's actually, like, a full devil worshiper and has all this crazy dialogue, and he's just nuts. But in the movie, they make him, like, a drug dealer that is pushing this stuff out there, but the motivation isn't really clear as to why he would be doing that. I never really understood the whole motivation of why they're actually trying to get people messed up on this stuff or addicted to this serum things that they're drinking, or whatever, angel blood or whatever the hell it is, because they don't even explain that in Valkyrie. The movie. Yeah, the Valkyrie stuff. And, like, it doesn't make sense why they want a bunch of junkies doing it, because they have a chance of becoming a super soldier. So why is that getting pushed out into the streets, right? Like, that, first off, I was like, I don't understand this at all. There is no motivation here. And it's not like he's getting a bunch of money for it, because he's literally tying junkies up and pouring it down their throat and then just, like, breaking it. And throughout the movie, they're destroying so much of the stuff. Like, they're just shooting it, they're stepping on it, they're throwing it. Like, it's just like, whatever, this is nothing, right? So I never really understood, like, the importance behind it or why it was even in the street to begin with.
It's weird, because in the game, like, people were, they were using it too, but it basically, yeah, like, it was supposed to be like a super enhancer for soldiers, and it never really made much sense why they were just pushing it out there. I think, yeah, like, in the game, they were doing it to find more soldiers, like, build up an army.
But that was never implied. That's the thing. Like, that would have actually been interesting.
Yeah, in the movie, there's nothing. Like, it has no background of why this is, like, why are they doing this? And like you said, like, they're just destroying these things left and right. And there's, well, we'll get into it when we talk about the slowest bullet time scene ever in a freaking movie.
Oh my god.
But but before that, it's so right before he meets up with Lupino in the game, the girl Max, right, which is Miley Kunis in the movie. So because she's seeking revenge on Punchinello, she doesn't want Max to kind of interfere with it. So she actually drugs him with Valkyr that early. So in the game, Max is like a pill popper, right? He's taking, like, I'm thinking it's painkillers, because in Max Payne 3, which is written by a different studio, it's painkillers. And he's doing it to kind of like hide like the thoughts and kind of escape. And I'll get into towards the end of why, like, I've always liked Max Payne as a character, at least in the games, because it's very, feels very real for a game. But anyway, so he drinks this Valkyr and he starts getting nightmares and he relives the night that it happened to his family. Mm-hmm. And I remember that in the game. As I to give a little backstory real quick, Max Payne was one of the first few games I played on my first, like, my own computer, right? Like, my own computer right before high school, like, a few years before that, right? Because Max Payne came out in 2001. I think I got in, like, 2003. And I loved it. Like, it was one of my favorite games for such a long time. Absolutely loved it. For some reason, I could never get Max Payne 2 to work on my computer. And Max Payne 3, I liked it, but I wasn't, it was something I learned to like later on because the character was so interesting. But going back to that scene where he experiences that nightmare, playing that at like 11 years old, I was like, what is this? Like, it, I don't want to say it fucked me up, but it was like, it was just kind of like it. It really bummed me out, basically. And so after that, he gets abducted by mobsters, tortured, and you have to, like, break out, basically. And later on, he goes to, like, meet up with Punchinello, and like a whole bunch of stuff kind of happens between him and this other, there's a lot of like gangs kind of like fighting for power in the game that you don't really see it that well in the movie. Like, there was that gang at the cargo docks, which I think that is Dawn. But in the movie, he's like just there. Like, he's not the enemy to the girl, which is weird.
Yeah, he was kind of like a nothing character. I think that was one of the big issues I had with this movie, and it reminded me a lot of Constantine in this way as well. Like, I love the Constantine movie, but I know that a lot of people didn't like it. And it felt like they were trying to put way too much information in a short movie. Like, things got cut out or whatever it may be, right? Like, the same thing happened to Constantine too, because there were characters in full sequences that got cut out from the final cut of the movie itself. So, like, the entire time you're watching Max Payne, you're just getting characters thrown at you, and it's just like, I don't know who this person is, but I guess they're important. Like, when BB showed up, I was like, who's this guy? Why is he here? Oh, okay, cool. Like, I guess he's there, right? And then all of a sudden, Ludacris's character comes into play, and you're like, okay, great. And then there's the Russians that get thrown in. And I just thought it was so funny whenever I saw the Russian mob gang members come in there, because they're full, like, Matrix leathered out. And I wrote a note here. I was like, oh my God, it's the Russians and angels, right? So, like, now it's just this whole fight where now Russians are bad, but they end up being good. Like, there's a lot that gets divulged in this, and I feel like this movie could have done well or better with just like maybe another half hour to kind of set the scene a little bit more, instead of, or maybe cut out some of those obnoxiously long bullet time sequences because they did nothing, or repeating the same scenes over and over again. But not having any weight behind them. Like, how many times did we see Max walk into the room where his wife and, like, baby got killed? And it, like, he probably went in there, like, probably, like, 15 times in the movie. And it was the same shot always over and over and over again. And I'm just like, oh, God. Yeah. Like, to the point where I actually didn't care anymore. And I actually thought it was hilarious that his child never had a name. And on the door, it just says baby. Like, like it says nothing else. It just says baby. That's it, right? And like, you don't even know Max Payne's wife's name until probably the last 15-20 minutes of the movie, until they finally say it, when BB comes up and he's like, oh, you know that Michelle thing that happened, it's come back to bite us in the ass. It's like, oh, her name's Michelle Payne. Okay, cool. Like, I feel like that we probably should have known that a long time ago, right? Like, it just, it didn't carry the same weight as what it sounds like the game was able to provide of making an actual, like, meaningful sequence of, you know, like, and maybe, like, the fact that he had already taken those drugs, and this movie would have been more interesting if he was already trying to, like, drown his sorrows in some way instead of just being a guy that works cold case files all day, right? Like, that was his thing. He didn't seem damaged at all, right? Like, he just was a guy that was just working, and then when he got off work, he would go hang out with druggies and try and find out clues about his wife. That's all it felt like. He didn't feel like he had any emotional damage, whatever. But from what it sounds like in the game, at least, they dive into that some more. They give him some vices that make him a little bit more relatable. And I think him, if he had taken those drugs before the ending sequence of the movie, I feel like it would have been a much better build up to it. Of, like, maybe now he just takes a shit ton of it, right? And it's kind of like that, gosh, what was that movie that just came out on Netflix or whatever? It was about the superpowers that if you take the pill, you, like, unlock a superpower in you, but it only lasts for a little bit of time. And I can't remember what it was called. Oh, my gosh. I think it's called Powered. But that was a good one where it was a cop that started taking the pills that these guys on the street were taking because it was his way of fighting back against it, right? And he took little, like, he would take a little bit here and there. He was hiding it. And then at the end, he took a few, right? And he was able to actually, like, kind of save the day or accomplish his goal. So, like, I like that build up a little bit more instead of him just, like, that scene of him just laying on the floor and just downing it like he's been in the Sahara Desert for weeks and just chugging and, like, basically licking the tubes and then just sitting up to scream at the top of his lungs and have no explanation of what is actually going on. It made it not as impactful as I think that the director wanted this sequence to be. And it actually made it feel more, like, honestly, I know that they've been building up to these Valkyries and these angels being real, that whole sequence at the end, in my opinion, made it feel as if it was even more of a hallucination and not real at all, because of him, you know, like, just screaming there, and he has all these angels flying around him, and it's a pretty dope looking scene. Kind of looks like something out of, like, a Chiodos music video or something, right? Like, something weird like that. And then, like, it just keeps flashing to the real world of what's going on, and there's, like, a cop sneaking up on him, and right, like, it just didn't feel as if it was actually real, and it felt like it was actually hallucinations. Like, none of this stuff, none of the supernatural was actually there. That it was just bad drug trips. Like, that was the vibe that it was giving off for me, at least.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, in the game, he hallucinates some stuff, but it's never, like that. And him downing it, like, I get it. He was, like, going to freeze to death, so I guess he thought, oh, this will revive me, right? Like, he thought it was going to be the way to, like, get him going, but it's like, it was just so extreme, because in the game, it's not like he wanted to take Valkyrie on his own will, right? Like, he never did. He popped pills instead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's weird. I definitely think there must have been a time constraint, but, you know, before I get into, like, the whole ending part, like, after that scene, which is totally different in the game, you know, the way he discovers the Valkyrie Valhalla project in the game is that, so when he met up to find Dawn, he basically got injected with, like, a overdose level of Valkyrie. And when he woke up, he was kind of in this, like, underground military complex. And that's where he found out about Valkyrie and that it was used on soldiers. And that Nicole, that older lady in the movie, was the one who restarted Valkyrie under her company Aesir, which so, I mean makes so he sense because it's get all a going really back bad, to that Norse.
He didn't get a really bad DVD from an accountant. Is that that's not how he found out about
oh,
it?
Oh, that's right. That's how he found out. But, huh?
In the movie, he just got a DVD, and they were just sitting there watching it on the couch. Like, okay,
that's true.
And it was an infomercial.
I forgot about that. Yeah, he finds out about it, I think, through just some files, but it's like, yeah, so he finds out that Aesir is bad and that his wife had found out about it being brought back up again because it was canceled right before that. And basically, like, that bunker, like, self-destructs. He gets out and he found out that Bibi was the one who set him up, right? And so, unlike, you know, in the movie where Bibi shoots Lupino and then pulls the gun on Max, and Max is like, what are you doing? In the game, Max knew that Bibi already was bad. Mm. And in the game, he sets up a meeting with Bibi and actually kills him in the parking lot.
Okay.
Right then and there. Which is interesting because in the movie, he's able to escape, right?
Right. And Bibi becomes like the main bad guy in this film.
Yeah. And this is kind of where I'm going, where it really diverges from the movie. So right after that scene, Max gets a call to see this secret society called the Inner Circle, who have been kind of watching them in the background. And I guess the leader of it, Alfred, basically says that Horn, the lady, was a member, and he wants Max to kill her in order to drop the charges against him, so he's like a free guy. And of course, Horn finds out about it and ambushes it, and Max and Alfred escape. And then this is where it leads into the ending, right? So in the movie, he takes the vials, and then he goes straight to the Aesir building, climbs up it, has the god-awful office shootout scene where they just can't hit shit, and he's just like, you know, just walking in front of open things, yep, shooting at these guys with a fucking Glock while they have,
how many,
like,
times did he blind fire his Glock and actually hit his target? Like, he's not, yeah, even looking, and he's running and just holding the gun over his head, right? And it looks like he's batting away cobwebs. Like, he's running through spider webs, and he's like, oh my god, and it's just the gun's blind firing, and it happens to, like, yeah, hit people perfectly in the knee, perfectly in the face, and he's getting shot at by like 30 SWAT agents, and nobody's hitting him at all. Like, it's ridiculous, and they're just random explosions and all this stuff. Like, I like cheesy action, but this action was just god awful. This is just horrible. And
the thing that pissed me off the most about this movie, and I feel like they kind of hinted at it at one point, he didn't do the, you know, the jump bullet time that kind of made Max Payne famous. There was that scene where he jumps through that hole, and it's kind of in slow motion, but I'm like, that, there's no way that's the same thing.
What are you talking about? And he totally did a jump bullet time. He just jumped backwards.
Oh, why, God. Oh, why? Shall we talk about that stupid scene?
I think we need to now at this point.
So, yeah, because before we talk about the ending, this happened way before that. This happened right before Lupino. And it's the thing that pisses me off about it, before we get into the absurdity of it, is that all of those vials and jars were being shot apart, right?
Oh, yeah.
All that liquid was flying on Max. How did that not drench him? Because after that scene, you see him get up and he's not covered at all in it. I'm like, dude, he must have at least drank half of that liquid.
Oh, yeah. No, he's like jumping through glass, all this stuff. He's getting punched in the face, and he has no marks on him. Oh, no, he had like one bruise on his forehead, but that was it. Right, like a little tiny,
but he got,
like,
shot in the arm, didn't he?
Yeah. He got shot like three times, and there's like nothing, no blood, no nothing. He got hit by the shotgun point blank, And he just kind of like, he just brushed it off.
He was like, okay. Yeah, and then he shoots them. I'm like, what the fuck? They should have blown your arm off.
Yeah, he just grunted. And then there was like some pocket marks in his leather jacket. It's like, okay, man, sure, whatever. But okay, this scene, this bullet time scene, I kid you not, I think 4 bullets were fired in this entire scene. And it felt like 2 minutes to do this whole sequence. They shot it from like 7 different angles, the same shot. It wasn't even cool, like what Max was doing or what Mark Wahlberg was doing at that time. So he has a shotgun and he basically spidey senses that someone is aiming a gun behind him from the balcony, doesn't see him at all. And so he trust falls backwards. Right. So he jumps up in the air, falling backwards. And this guy from the balcony has a gun trained on him already, aiming down the sights at him, a sniper rifle, and fires and totally misses like 3 times. And every single time the sniper rifle goes off, it like zooms into the guy shooting the gun. It shows the bullet leaving the barrel, like this whole crazy sequence. And then it shows it hit some of the blue liquid and explode. And from the side angle shot of Max, like slow. And meanwhile, while this is all happening, Max is slowly doing kind of a backflip, but he's going to land flat on his ass by the end of this. Right. So from the side shot, you just see vials fucking exploding and just so much liquid and chaos and blood and just glass being thrown into the air. It makes for a very pretty scene, but when you look at the context of it, it's horrible. And then it did a cut where it went from a different angle and you actually get to see how far away the table is that it was actually getting hit by the bullets from this sniper. That table was like 10 feet away from where Max was actually jumping. It was so fucking far. And this sniper was just one floor above him on a balcony. There's no way in hell that this guy could miss that freaking bad. And then at the end of it, meanwhile, Max is still jumping backwards, like just trust falling his way through it all. He fires one shotgun shell and just obliterates this guy. Like, Max's shotgun has to be the most powerful shotgun in the world, where from like 130 feet away, he's blasting people through walls with it. Like, it's so concentrated. So this scene, and I guarantee for as long as I've been talking, this scene has still been playing out in the movie. You can just put my voice over the sequence itself and it'll be a shot by shot. And I'm just kidding. But like, it is such a boring, long scene where literally just four bullets were fired. And he's not even doing anything cool. Like, he doesn't land it at all. He fires it and then falls on his ass and he has to like scramble up and look and goes, oh. Like, he looks surprised that he did it. He's like, oh, shit, I got him. Rad. And then he just leaves. Like, that was the whole sequence there. There was nothing, like, anything else in that room except for that bullet time scene. So, yeah, that scene fucked so bad.
Pisses me off, too, about that scene. So he's far away from him, right? And that shotgun somehow hits that sniper and he flies against
that
wall.
Not only that, it explodes the balcony. obliterates everything.
But like literally 3 minutes before that scene when that guy shoots point blank with a shotgun at Max and he barely flinches, I'm like, oh, what's in this shotgun that Max has? This is insane.
It has to be the drugs. He has to be hallucinating the whole time. That's what I kept thinking.
But that's the thing though, at that point in the movie, he didn't take any yet.
Oh, that's true. I keep getting him mixed up.
He never touched
any. It's just hard to like tell what's actually going on in that movie. That's so true.
Yeah, because that was when he was on his way to Lupino at the club.
Yeah. It's just bad. They just wanted crazy action sequences just to be in it. Like, it says a lot about this movie and what kind of movie it is whenever, as soon as the credits roll, it's just fucking explosions on the credits. Like, it's like the music sucks. It's horrible. And it's just explosions while credits are rolling. And you're like, okay, that's what I just watched. I get it now. It's just a dumb movie. But yeah, that whole sequence was just insane.
Yeah, I was like, I will say one thing. If you want a good bullet time movie that's not The Matrix, Wanted, I think, is probably the best, because not only do they curve their bullet shots, which is bad fucking ass, it's like it came out around the same time as the Max Payne movie, I think. I think it was like 2008, too.
I feel like it was around that time.
It was 2008. And it has Morgan Freeman with one of the best ending.
Oh, yeah.
Scenes in a freaking movie. And that Getting movie was a donut, badass.
Right? Yeah.
Like,
that movie was really good. That one I really like. Another great one, actually, that I want to watch now after watching this one is, what was it? It's Equilibrium, right? The with the gun katana. Oh, yeah, that
movie's cool, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the martial arts with guns. Like, it's great, right? Like, they made a full martial art with guns. So if you haven't seen that movie, you got to check that one out. That one has really rad sequences in it, for sure. But yeah.
I don't care what people say. But those early 2000s movies like that are just amazing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because they're cheesy, but they're at least trying something new. They're not being like Heat. They're not doing your bank robbery. They're not doing the same old crap. Like, they're trying to be something different. And I feel like they were trying to do that with the Max Payne movie, because they were like, oh, let's cut out all this nonsense from the game and change it up a little bit. And it's sad because the ending of Max Payne, the game, is actually really cool compared to what happens in the movie. And so he climbs to the top, right? And so Max, that girl, was actually hired by that horn lady to shoot Max.
Yeah.
Instead of working with him.
Yeah.
Well, so in the game, she never works with Max. She works with him, I think, like once, like way in the beginning. But other than that, like, she's basically like the like rival or side enemy. But during that final scene, she's like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to do it. And she just leaves. And he gets up to the top and he like basically like somehow knocks an antenna off the top of the building, right? He like cuts the wires or whatever. And basically when Horn is in her helicopter and flying away, that antenna falls onto the helicopter and you just see the helicopter like blow up. Like, way cooler than the final scene in the movie.
What, you didn't like him and just kneeling and staring at lights?
It was, I was like, what the f-? And basically the way it ended too, so like, in the game, he gets taken into custody, but it flashes over to that Alfred guy that was part of that secret society. And he like smiles at him. So it's like, you know that he's getting his record cleaned, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And regretfully, I never got the playthrough 2 because it didn't work for me. So I'm curious to see like what happens after that. But yeah, like it's weird how the movie really went to weird places, but I feel like a lot of video game movies do that. And it sucks.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, look at the original Super Mario movie. That went fucking bonkers.
Yeah, but the right? Goombas are awesome.
Yeah, that's true. And King Koopa was
the tiny ass. Dude, we need to bring that back.
And the fact that they freaking used the same set designer for Blade Runner for that movie is amazing. I love that.
It's so ridiculous.
But yeah, I feel like a lot of directors and writers think, oh, video game movie. Let me just go batshit crazy with this. This is my time to have fun and just do weird stuff. And we got some great movies out of that, right? Really memorable, quote unquote, great, right? Like, critically acclaimed? No. But they're entertaining as hell. Like, the Street Fighter movie was one of those where they just went weird with it. And that was fantastic. And the Mario Brothers one, you know, like, memorable, iconic. And this one, it felt like halfway through, it felt like they were like, oh yeah, by the way, it's a video game movie, so just have fun with it. And then the first half of it was, we want to take ourselves seriously. This is a dark, gritty movie. It felt like they were mimicking Batman, right? Like Christian Bale Batman style, with like the gruff voice and all that. But then he lost that very quickly That was only in the very beginning with his weird quote of like, I only know death, pain, and all this stuff. What was it? I don't believe in heaven. I believe in pain. I believe in fear. I believe in death. But he does it with a full, like, gruff Batman voice. And then it goes to just, it's Mark Wahlberg. Like, Mark Wahlberg, I love his movies, but Mark Wahlberg can only play Mark Wahlberg. Like, that's it. He doesn't change in any of his movies. So I thought it was funny that they were trying to do something, set him up for something serious, and then he just played himself by the end of it. So, yeah, it devolved very quickly, that's for sure. But, yeah. So one question that I got to ask after watching this horrendous movie before we finish up this episode here, did this movie make you want to play the games?
It actually did make me want to go back and try to beat 2. And you know what? I will admit, it really did. And especially with them doing remakes of the first 2 games, hopefully in the next year or two. Yeah, I honestly really want to go back to them because I loved the original Max Payne a lot. And, you know, him as a broken character, throughout the games, you know, by 3, he's so broken. It's fascinating, you know, seeing a decline of a person throughout a game series is weird, but
right.
Yeah, like I would definitely love to go back to it.
Yeah, I gotta say, actually, despite how bad this movie actually was, I do want to play the game now. Like this movie actually made me want to play the game, not because I enjoyed the sequences or the way they told the story. It's more of a, what the hell were they supposed to tell me here? Like, I want the real story now. I don't want the made-up one. So, yeah, I definitely want to try this game out now. After all these years, go figure, right? It's like watching Mark Wahlberg to make me want to watch and play Max Payne. But anyway. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Hope you guys have enjoyed our little discussion here into Max Payne, the movie. It's special. And if you like movies that are so bad they're good, this isn't one of those. Unfortunately, it's just a bad movie. I don't know. But if you want to watch it, you can watch it and have fun with it. But anyway, we'll talk to you guys next week with some more games and all that good stuff. But until then, bye for now.